You know, it is an amazing thing. The more you begin to see God, the more inexpressible God becomes. And I'm always amazed how you can go into prayer, and sometimes, I don't know about you, maybe this is just a confession I'll make, sometimes I'm reluctant, I want to do something else, but I'll enter into prayer, and it's as if once I've made the decision to enter into prayer, it's like God's Spirit takes over, and then I can't believe I was reluctant to begin with, and by the time I get praying, I don't want to stop. Because then there's so much, I'm like, I don't have enough time for this. All the things you've laid on my heart now before you that I want to pray to you about. But just as you begin to see God work, the more you see God, the greater revelation of God that you get, the more inexpressible it all becomes. How do you even begin to, you know, you shake your body trying to come up with the words. How do I communicate how I feel other than to be before you, God? And so certainly as we worship and praise God and have those revelations of God, we just stand in awe. And it's kind of like that song that Carolyn and Garrett and Bonte have sung. I can only imagine, right? What will you do when you see the glory of God? Will you shout? Will you dance? Will you be quiet? Will you be still? Will you fall on your face? How do you begin to think about that? Because when you see the reality of God, it's inexpressible. You know, we've been talking the last few weeks about faith and about how the demons have a faith. They believe in God, but they don't believe God. And last week we were talking about thanks and giving thanks in everything. It's the will of God for us in Christ Jesus to give thanks in all things. To see God as the reality no matter what we're facing in life. Now, as you start to look through the Scriptures, you find this message of the gospel of the kingdom of God, of Christ expressing a kingdom to come on this earth. And you know, as you look around and you celebrate a Thanksgiving, if you look at the news, you see a lot of bad stuff going on. You know, all the images of what's going on in our airports here in our country, it's very disturbing to think that here we are, this free people that fought for freedom and all these searches going on in people. And you just start to see more and more of a trend toward a greater and greater infringement upon liberty and upon freedom and more invasiveness by the government. But there is the hope of a government that is free. There is the hope of government that is liberating, that is offered to us. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Micah, I want to read some of my favorite verses of the Bible. And you know I say this about every book, so it's how do you get to the real favorites? I don't know. But turn with me to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 and in verse 1 says this. Micah chapter 4 and in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Alright, so the imagery is that the kingdoms are mountains. The kingdom of God is established above and over all other kingdoms that are on this earth. So the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. So He, as we know, Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will establish His kingdom over all. And it says, and shall be exalted above the hills. And notice, the people will flow to it. So in the latter days, a kingdom will be established and the people are going to be flowing to it. And notice, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So I want you to paint this image in your head of the kingdom of God being established over all other kingdoms, over all nations of the world. And the nations, the people are coming to it. They're flowing to it, saying, let's go there because He's going to teach us His ways and we shall walk in His paths. There's something about the kingdom of God and what it ushers in terms of a desire and a yearning within mankind to come and seek the way of God. You know, Lynn read it in her message. We are saved by grace, apart from works. But as we are drawn into relationship with God, the Spirit of God wants to produce that fruit in us, that life in us, that the law by itself was not. But God wants something produced. And as we come to the kingdom, we're given a heart to seek, a heart to desire, a heart to yearn. You know, when we confess Christ as Savior and Christ as Lord, what we're saying is not just that we accept the forgiveness of our sins. We're saying we want you to teach us. Be our Lord. Because the things that have been going on in my life aren't working. And we sang about the song, sang in the song about all the things of this world that we think will satisfy, they don't. You know, money, fame, power, travel, great, you know, house, great business, great whatever. The things of this world always end up falling short. Now God says be thankful in all things, but realize the greatest things we have to be thankful for are the things that do not perish. The crown that doesn't perish, that is placed on the head of Jesus Christ, that we can know and trust and rely on the salvation and the leadership in Jesus. So that wherever we are in our lives, we know that we have this. Now, Jesus is calling us into something more than just knowing about Him. He's calling us to know who He is. And His ways, His teachings, and His laws all are about trying to communicate to us who He is and His ways. This last week, I had a chance to take my boys over and play some laser tag. How many of you ever played laser tag before? Oh, about half of you. It's fun. It's really fun. The boys get a big kick out of it. And I was really not too good at it at first. And my son Eric was really good. So he had to teach me how to play. But as we started playing, you know, and the kids are getting competitive, and there's a lot of kids off of school, you know, because it's Thanksgiving week, and they're being all competitive. Some of the kids were taking their sweatshirts and their sweat jackets, and they were putting them over the targets on their shoulders. Because if you're back against the wall and you put your gun like this and the shoulders are covered, you're a tough target to hit, right? So it makes it very easy for somebody who's playing the game right. So Eric saw this. He's like, Dad, they're all putting their hoods over. And he's like thinking he's maybe going to do it. And I said, but wait a minute. If you do that and you win, and he was already pwning everybody that was there anyway. So, you know, there he is beating them all anyway. But As he's getting ready to do this, I said, but if you win that way, what will you be doing? Cheating. Cheaters never prosper, right? What does it matter if you win, if you cheated to win? Did you really win anything? Now, I didn't have a rule before we went to laser tag that said, thou shalt not cover your shoulder targets in laser tag. I didn't need the law written out that said that before, but I know that the principle of the Liesenfelds is we don't cheat. Don't cheat. Right? It's part of the character of God. Part of who God is He doesn't cheat. We rely on this. We trust this about God, that He's not this way. We rely on His Word, that it's good. That when He says it, He's faithful to perform it. We don't have to doubt it. He's honest. There's integrity with God. Now, as we come to God and we start to know God, we see that way of character. We see the way of integrity. And it goes beyond a written law of what it says in the letter. It goes into something much deeper that puts you in a situation like this and you say, we're not doing that. If you cheat, you didn't win at anything. Let other people cheat, you play us, and then win. How much better is that? To do things the right way. See, the process does count in this life. Because whether you win at laser tag or not, does it really matter? But how you play and the way you go about it, maybe that does. Maybe that does matter. It's all vanity. But sometimes in the vainness of life, there are these kernels of wheat produced. The chaff holds up the grains. These little grains at the very top of a branch of wheat. So in a silly little game of laser tag, you just get a little nugget of, this is the way we do things. Now God is very much into this. And I want you to notice this instruction that Jesus gives over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because to me, this is one of the strongest warnings in all the Scripture. When we think about this kingdom of God being established and all nations flowing up and say, hey, come, let us go to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob. He's going to teach us His ways and we're going to walk in His paths. And out of Zion, the law is going to go forth. He says, but this is what will keep you out. Right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of hard to think about, isn't it? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. We just called and praised the name of the Lord here today. But Jesus says, just because you call on the name of the Lord, just because you praise Him as Lord, doesn't mean that you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. But, He says, he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Look at all the works that we can do for you, God, and that you helped us to do. By faith, we cast out demons and we did these wonderful things in your name. Look at all the works that we did. Now, isn't it God's will that you call Him Lord? Isn't it God's will that you would serve others and do works in order to help and bless others? But notice what Jesus says. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So you can say the right things, you can be doing things. On the outside, you can have an image of what you're doing as a minister or servant of Christ. But He can still say, I never knew you. What does it mean to you to know the Lord? Is it a moment when you just say, Jesus is Lord? Or is it something that goes deeper than that? Is it something that goes way beyond just saying, I know you as Lord? How many of you know who President Obama is? Right? Everybody. Does anybody not know who President Obama is? No. How many of you know him? See, you can know of him. You can read what people say about him. You can listen to what he says about himself. But do you really know him? Do you know what he's like? Do you know the way he lives? There are lots of people we can know, but do we really know them? So when we read about the kingdom of God and all nations flowing unto it, you realize that in the heart and intent of it is coming to know who God is, coming to know His ways and the perfection of His laws. But come with me over to John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is found in the writings here of John and what he declares to us who live today. Notice in John 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning. And remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. What an honor it is to be made in the image of God with the hope of having fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, forever. When John was declaring this message to the saints, and he declares it to us today, he's saying, not only can we tell you about this life, we saw life manifested. We looked at the body of Christ. And we saw Emmanuel, God with us. We beheld who He was. We saw Him. We heard Him. We touched Him. But more than just seeing about Him, they knew who He was. Jesus, in His ministry, was continually declaring Himself. And the beliefs that He had, and the way that He walked, when they went out on the boats, when they went to teach, when they walked through the woods, when they slept in the groves, when they went about the kingdom, the disciples stayed close to Him, and they got to know Him so they could declare Him. They shared with Him life so that they could share that life with you and me. These passages that we read today are sharing life with us. Sharing the life of Christ, that we would come to know God as He is. That we would come to know Jesus as He is. We get together for Thanksgiving, right? Normally, what is it that brings us together? Food. Wow, first answer, food. Special occasion. People have the day off work, right?
Turkey.
What else?
Family.
Cake? Did you say cake? Cake, okay. Pumpkin pie. Yes. Tavion. Duck, duck, goose. Yes.
Death.
Fellowship. See, there's a lot of things that can bring you together for different reasons. Now, I want you to think about, why do you come here to fellowship? What is it?
Food?
Spiritual food. Ah. What else? God. Is that your answer too? What else?
Praise and worship.
What else?
Teaching.
What else? Like-minded people. What else?
Love.
What else?
Service.
What else? Freedom. Your freedom in Christ? Yes? What else? See, no one made you come here today, right? I don't know, maybe you're visitors, right? So maybe Scott and Carolyn woke you up and said, hey, you're coming with us. You can't stay at our house. So maybe they did that to you. I'm sorry, Dave and Val, if that's the case, and you're here by force. But the rest of you have freedom, right? You are here of your own free will. You came by choice. I didn't come to your house and say, get up, it's time to go to church. I didn't say, you need to come here to worship God. You come of your own free will and volition. But what is it that brings you here? All these different things about God, whether it's His teaching or the freedom in Christ or the life, even death, that we have died with Christ, that we may have life. The Word of God, to hear something taught from God's Word, we come and we gather around the banner that is Christ. Now, our fellowship here is based on that. If it gets based on anything else, we're going to miss it. But I want you to notice again in 1 John 1 and verse 1, he says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think of this in terms of Jesus' teaching, because it's kind of hard when He says, hey, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, on that day, and I'm not going to recognize them. They're going to say, we did all these wonderful things, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What God is inviting you into is a fellowship with Him. This fellowship, hopefully, is always being based on having fellowship with Christ. He is the one we're gathering around for His teaching, to worship Him, to praise Him, to get insight into who He is. The kingdom of God is built on this knowledge of Christ, of the great King. And the knowledge says that as you come to see Him, as you come to see Jesus Christ more perfectly, what you will discover then is exactly who He is. If you come to see Christ, aren't you going to see what perfect love is? When you see Christ, are you going to see what perfect faith is? When you see Christ, are you going to see what it is to be righteous, to be just, to be merciful, to be compassionate? You see, when He's offering you in, He's saying, I want to declare all this to you. I want to declare who I am. That's what He says here in 1 John 2, beginning in verse 3. 1 John 2, 3, He says, now by this we know that we know Him. How do you know Him? I think we should ask this of ourselves a lot. How do I know Him? That I'm not just the one that's saying, Lord, Lord. That I'm not the one that's saying, but I do all these works for you, God. How do we know that we know Him? You see, the challenge is in us to come to ourselves and say, do I really have fellowship with Christ? Is the reflection of Christ in me? Notice what He says. But by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked. Now Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. John here saying basically the same thing. If you say you know Him and you don't keep His commandments, you're a liar. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked. Christ was the reflection of the perfect will of God. Now, we can take these verses and we can start to look at the commandments and say, well, I keep 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. We keep this commandment. We keep that commandment. We do this instruction. We follow that. But I would challenge you to see that it goes beyond that. I would challenge you to see that beyond the specific of commandments, to say, well, I do this, therefore I know God. It's to realize that in every word of teaching that we have in the Scripture, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that what He is doing is revealing who He is and a way that He is, that we may be the wholeness of God, that God may be all and in all, in us all, that His perfection would come out. It's much greater than just the keeping of an individual commandment. It is the expression of who God is. You realize all these teachings and the commands that God gives us about forgiveness and giving to those who don't give to us and praying for those who spitefully use us and loving our enemies, all the instruction that He's giving is really just an expression of who He is. He's trying to codify, you could say, or try to express in writing His character, but His character of love is much bigger and broader than what's expressed. The great thing about what we're seeing here is that as we see God and as we begin to trust in His Word and who He is, we see that He is giving us a sliver into who He is, into His character, into the knowledge of God. And the thing is, the hope is that the more you know God, the more you want to live like God. That's where real worship is found. You see, praising God is good, but you're seeking to seek His face. You're pushing in so that you can see God, so that you can become like Him. That's really the form of worship that God wants. It's the form of worship that we humanly do, right? How many of you were teenagers in the 80s? Remember Michael Jackson? How many of you went to school and saw anybody wear one glove to school? Yeah, yeah. A lot of you. The one glove. Why would people do that? Because they saw Michael Jackson do it, right? The jacket, the glove, the little hat, right? I mean, I had friends come to school like this, and you're like, Wow. But see, it was cool. Now you look back and you're like, man, that was wrong. You know? It's like, what was up with that? Right? How about in the 70s? When I was a little kid in the 70s, I used to have my friend Andy come over to the house, and we were Kiss. You know, I was like, yeah. And my tongue's really short, so it wasn't good. So he would play the role of Gene Simmons, and he'd stick his tongue out, and we would sing all these songs, and we had no idea what any of them meant. And I can't believe I did that. How did you let me listen to those, Mom? I don't know. But really, we were playing these songs. We're jumping on the bed. We're, you know, doing our guitar. We're pretending we're, you know, spitting out blood and all this stupid stuff that you do. Why? Because these guys were great. You know, Kiss, oh, they were so awesome. And you think about all these things that you do to try to imitate, right? Saw Walter Payton when I grew up, living in Chicago. So, the colder it would get and the more snow we would get, the better it would be. Because you shovel the snow off the driveway and you make mounds. And the mounds get bigger and bigger. As you live in the Midwest, you know this. In California, just trust me on this one. You make these mounds. So you have your driveway, and then you have these huge mounds of snow, and then it kind of goes back down. Well, that is the perfect pile, because Walter Payton made famous taking the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and instead of trying to run through a hole, he would just leap over the whole thing. He would just dive over it. So what did me and all my buddies do? We'd get snowy in the wintertime. We'd build up the piles. We'd make them as big as we can. We'd hand off to each other. We'd take the ball, and you've got to clear it. If you touch it, you don't get the touchdown. You've got to clear the snow hill. Now, I was outside on a day that was 20 below zero. The wind chill was minus 80. I could barely feel anything. And I was out playing with my buddy because we love Walter Payton. I was willing to go out and make the sacrifice. It didn't even bother me being outside. It was so cold, but we wanted to imitate Walter Payton. Why? He was our hero. He was the one we wanted to be like. We wanted to be like Walter Payton. And the more you learned about him and read about him, the more you liked him and you wanted to be like him. And it would just create this whole worship, so to speak, trying to be like somebody else. There's something in us humanly that wants to worship something else. There's something in us that is looking for what's better, what's bigger, what's beyond, what's famous, what's larger than life. But you see, the thing is, in all the human things we can worship, whether it's Michael Jackson or Walter Payton or Kiss, the reality is, they all fail and fall short. They all die, and they're not there. And the more you read and the more you find out, maybe they're not so worthy of that imitation and that worship. Now, the thing about God is, there's no bad side effect with God. There's nothing that comes with God that's not good for you. God is perfect. God is living. He's eternal. He's love. He's faithful. He's filled with hope. He's just. He's compassionate. He's merciful. When you start to look at the life of God and begin to know God, you realize that every part about Him is worth imitating. But see, you almost have to come back to that childlike faith that allows you to enter into the kingdom that says, I want to be like you, Dad. When I was a little kid, I used to love to wear three-piece suits. I was so happy the first time my family got me a suit. Not just the jacket, but the vest inside. Why was I so happy? It's because my dad wore that kind of suit to work every day. I was so excited. And then when Dad wore out his briefcase and I got it, now I could dress like Dad and have a briefcase like Dad. I wanted to be like my father. I wanted to imitate this one I was looking up to because he was the provider and the protector and the one who was in the home. And I wanted to be like my father. To this day, when I go into restaurants to work, I still take the binder, one of those little, you know, folding that my dad used in a company back, I don't know, in the 70s. I still use it to this day. 40 years later, I still got the little binder that my dad used. And when I pull it out, I look at it, and my dad used to use this. And I still have this and use this leather binder today. Now, there's something about kids. They look up to their parents. It's just, it's born in us. We look up. We want to imitate. We want to be like. The thing is, sometimes as we start to get older, then we start to rebel against that. We're like, nah, I don't know so much if I want to be like the parent. And the same thing happens humanly. When Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a faith in God and in knowing who God is. And it's a pure and innocent desire that just says in your heart, I don't know who to be, but I know I want to be like you. There is something about the heart of a child that says, I just want to do what you want. And so often, humanly, we start resisting and pushing and rejecting and thinking we know better, and we go through these cycles in life, and really all God's doing is waiting for us to come back and say, okay, I just want to know you. Who are you, God? Do you really want to know God? You see, if you see God and start to see who He is, you're going to see the perfection of every quality you want to have. Being created in the image of God is based on that faithful desire that says, who are you? I want to know you, Lord. And this is why God inspired the new covenant. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And in verse 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, it goes beyond just a written, codified law that appears in the book. What God wants is us to see that that is but a written sliver of who He is, but what He wants us to really become is Him. The law, the writing, the instruction, the teaching reveals who He is. When you read the Scriptures, don't just be looking at it as, here are the rules that God wants me to obey. Understand, this is who God is. Why does God teach you to do this or that or anything that you read or discover? He's sharing His character. He's sharing His very nature and essence with you, that you would come to know who He is. This is who God wants us to worship. It goes beyond the specific law into the character of God, the perfect love of God. He wants you to know Him deeply, intimately, and personally. You see, again, when parents have the rules with their kids and they say, okay, I want you to make your bed in the morning. I want you to keep your room clean. You need to get your homework done and do your music practice. These are all rules that you could say, oh, it's just a rule. But really what they're doing is teaching some of the very essential things about responsibility, about cleanliness, about how to live in an orderly way, about how to be organized, about what you need to know so that when you leave the house and you become an adult, all these things make sense. This is why my parent told me to do this. This is why they instructed it. You see it not so much as a rule in law anymore, as in the sense of, I got to follow and obey that, but you realize it's a part of the character that is essential to function at a high level as a citizen of society. You realize they're for your good. You realize they made sense. You realize they could see things that you couldn't. And so when God is giving the law, He's wanting it to come off the pages of your Bible and into your heart and mind, that this becomes who you are. He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to be made and created in the image of Almighty God. And to bring you to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, He has to give you this Word. It starts you on a path. But friends, as we mature and grow in Christ, you've got to be asking, why, God? Why did you say to do this? What is it you want me to see? What is it that you want me to understand? Again, Lynn read about circumcision. We don't physically circumcise on the eighth day. But you better believe that we obey the law of circumcision when we come to Christ, when we, what? Circumcise the foreskins of our hearts. You see, the things written in the letter aren't just discarded. They're meant to be understood. They're meant to be grasped. Because they teach something about God. Don't ignore the Word of God thinking it's done away, it's old, it's forgotten, when really what God is doing is showing something of who He is to you. Well, I like this part of God, but not that part. I want to know who He is here, but not there. But see, then your image gets clouded. So that's why He gives a commandment. He says, don't make anything, right? Images of above or in the earth below. Don't make any image. Because when you start making graven images of God, the God you worship becomes something distorted. God wants you to have a true image of Him. That's why we enter into this Word with that childlike attitude, submitting to say, who are You, God? I want all of You, not just a part. But notice this. So He says that He will put, verse 33, the law on the minds and write it on the hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. They're going to worship Me. They're going to be My people. And I'm going to be God to them. And notice verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. It is God's desire for you to know Him. Coming here for fellowship is to encourage you to get to know God. It is to encourage you to seek His face, to seek His character, who He is, His very nature. He constantly is revealing Himself in all the things that He created and the things that He made and the things that He teaches in His Word. He's wanting to share essential life with us. And not just that we know about Him, but that when we come to discover His perfect will, we understand that the perfection of who He is displayed in all of it. I want you to think about not just your role in this. I want you to think about God's role in your relationship with Him. I want you to think about our Father in heaven saying, I want to know You. And I want to share My life with You. See, each day is an invitation to know God. It's an invitation to come close and get to know Me. To read My Word and discover about Me. I've written it for you, God would say. If you say, hey, I haven't really been spending that much time reading the Bible or studying it, except maybe when I come to church. You say, I really haven't been spending much time praying, maybe in the car on the way to work, but I haven't really spent much time with God. I can't remember the last time I fasted. They actually just dedicated 4 or 5 hours or a day to God. If you find yourself in this situation, I want you to think about it from God's perspective. I want you to think about what He would want from you, what He desires from you. He's your Creator. He's the one who made you. Are you willing to accept the invitations that He's giving to come near, to draw near, to know Me? It's kind of a sad thing to think about, isn't it, when people reject God? It's kind of a sad thing to think about many coming and saying, Lord, Lord, and And saying, there are going to be many who say that, and they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. You don't want to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Because essentially what he's saying is, yeah, you liked all the stuff, but did you like me? Were you interested in knowing me? And were you interested in living the way I live? You see, the fellowship with God brings you in to be like Him. Keeping the commandments becomes natural because the one you're spending your time with always is. Jesus never broke His Father's commandments. Jesus always lives in righteousness. When He came to earth and manifested, that eternal life couldn't sin because it was who He was. Though He was tempted on all points, yet He was without sin. How could He sin? It was His very life. The commandments were nothing less than a reflection of who He was. The commandments were just saying who He was. Well, sometimes people have trouble getting up in the morning. Well, there's the commandment. Trouble getting up in the morning, usually late for school. That's not anybody in my family. I miss the bus often. Right? My room is a mess. See, there are laws that you could say are for all of us, right? If you took your life and wrote down all the things about you, what would it say? He works too much. Needs to spend more time with family. He doesn't work enough. He needs to spend more time for his family. He prays seldomly. He prays often. He studies the Bible frequently. He never touches the book. You see, you could look at your life and say, what are the things that define who you are? God is defining Himself to us in a way that we understand so we can know Him. He's trying to show us who He is. Now, here's the thing. Who do you become? You know, the saying goes, who do you become 5 years from now? Right? The people you spend time with, the books you read. I would open it up to your media and any entertainment you have too. What you spend the most time with, who you spend the most time with, whether in a written form or in a movie or on television or in music, and the people you hang out with, that is who you become. They have the strongest influence on your life to form you and shape you. And the stronger the personalities of the friends you have, the more likely you're going to be doing what they want you to do. True? You might never play, you might never go to the bowling alley. But make friends with somebody with a strong personality who loves to bowl. You're probably going bowling. True? Right? Brad, you know all about that, right? Brad's got a strong personality. He gets people to do things he wants all the time. I mean that in a good way, not a bad way. Sometimes, but all right. The point is, there's no personality stronger than God's. But we got to spend time with Him. You can't help but see the beauty in who God is the more time you spend with Him. My job as pastor here is to encourage you in whatever way I can to spend time with God. You know, you think about the holidays and the reasons you get together for fellowship. There are more reasons to spend time with your Father in heaven and with His Son Jesus than with anybody else. Do you want to? Because the liberty that we have been given in this life, not only in Christ, but just liberty to be alive, is to make choices with the way we spend our time and with who we spend it with and how we do it. God's not there to say, you must do this or must do that. He's only there to say it when you ask Him. He's a willing teacher if you'll be the ready student. He wants to teach you all about Him. Let's finish in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just want to pick up here the last verse of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. The Apostle Paul just got finished describing all the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the gifts, all the things, you know, that would be used by the people that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 7. You know, they were out there casting out demons in His name and preaching in His name and doing wonders in His name. And here are all these gifts that God gives for serving other people. In 1 Corinthians 12, but he says, but verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. When you think about God, I want you to realize that there is a way that He lives that He wants us to be joining with Him in. He's saying, have fellowship with me. Share life with me. That's what fellowship is. God wants to share all that He is with you because He knows that if you live like Him, you are going to have the same blessings and the same life that God does. And what will make the kingdom of God that sweet place is that when all come to the mountain, when all come to know God, when all live by His ways and see who He is, and by their choice say, yes, this is the way that we live. God lives this way, I want to live this way. And this has to be the drive in your heart. This is the way God is, this is the way I want. This is the excellent way. It is the way of love as described here in chapter 13. For though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It's simply discipline. It's simply following the rules. It is simply doing what it says and thinking that is what makes you a follower of Christ. That is not it. If you're just looking at what He says to do and doing it out of a discipline of obedience to God and not realizing it is the character of God that causes Him to lay down His life. It's the character of God that causes Him to give all of His blessings. It was the character of God that caused Jesus to not hold on to being God, but made Himself of no reputation and took on the form of a man and then a servant that He could give His life for you and me. It was His character. It wasn't just following the rules, it was who He was. And it is a great love of God that He has, and it is that eternal love and eternal life that He says, I want to share with you. I want you to have this in you. Because what is going to make this relationship is that my love in you and your love back to me, that God may be all and in all. That is where the kingdom of God is great. This is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news for our lives, that God is making you to know love. So that we do it out of the right heart and the right motivation. Not just to obey a rule, but because it's who we are. We're the children of Almighty God. God wants you to be His child forever. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. You see, when we see this character and nature of God, this perfect love, it may shine that light that we are not there. But that is why we have Jesus, and that is why we keep going. Because as we are with Him, we will become like Him. As we spend that time. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. The revealing of Christ to us, to those who seek to live by His will, is a time of making known what we've been searching for all along. Seeking His perfect love. Seeking His perfect character. His perfect righteousness. His perfect justice and compassion, His endurance, everything that is perfect in God. You're going to know it completely. And now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The will of God. To know and love the will of God. To seek it with all your heart. The kingdom of God that is going to be established on this earth will continue to thrive and prosper because its members all made the decision to come to the mountain to seek God. To learn a different way that is not of this world, but a way that is of God. And you and I have that calling now. To make Christ our King today. That He would be the ruler in our hearts and in our minds. That we would submit this land to Him. So continue to seek Him. Continue to follow after Him. As it says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you.